This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
In the loop here on Sports Radio 610, you heard the big voice man, John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you on a Friday. Round two, or day two, rather, because rounds two, three, and four to happen in Green Bay in the NFL draft. Who are the winners and losers of round one? And call your pick. What are you looking to see on day two as well? 713-572-4610.
Call your shot.
Speaking of call, before we get there, let's go to Wood. Wood's on the phone with us. You're in the loop, man. What's happening, Wood?
All right. Man, I don't know why Nick Caserio figures he's so smart. Just because you have book sense don't mean you have common sense. What is it that he got against number one draft picks? Last year, you give away our number one draft pick, and we get a second round. You give it to go get Diggs, and then we have Diggs on a three-year contract, and then you decide to renegotiate, and now Diggs is not here. I mean, man, these GMs have to be laughing when they see the Texans calling them like, oh, man, Nick Caserio's on the phone. You know, we can fleece him because he don't believe in getting a number one pick back. Everybody who lose a number one draft pick at least get a number one draft pick back. And then at the beginning of the day yesterday, what you getting another seven rounder and six? Keep your fifth rounder. What we want with a six and a seven rounder? Those picks don't mean nothing far back like that. He thinks he's so smart negotiating out here, but he's killing us with these. We got great opportunities to get players who can make a difference in the first round, but he keeps getting out of the first round because he thinks he's so smart. No common sense at all. Somebody needs to wake you up, Nick Caserio. You're not the smartest person out there. There are other GMs just as smart as you, and they're proving it by fleecing you every year because they realize, oh, here come the Texans calling. Well, we know we're going to get a number one pick from them, and we don't have to give up a number one. We can give up a two or a three because Nick Caserio don't value a number one pick. But he can talk a good game. He's real smart on talking to everybody like a con man.
Man.
Appreciate you, Wood.
Man.
I feel that frustration on one, though, but I think in this very particular situation, like on the larger, I feel you. In this particular situation, once that kind of starts going this way, this is probably the right way to play it when you have a group of guys that you go, hey, this is being too many guys are being taken out of my pot. The reasonable thing is to trade back. Right? Like, or am I out of line here?
No, look, you know, we know Wood knows we love him, but that's over the top. That's way, way, if you didn't pick up on that by on your own. I'm here to tell you.
I never want to see him and Nick Caserio in the same room.
I know.
Man.
But that's over. Look, there's plenty that we can criticize, you know, especially if this offensive line pick, which you haven't even made yet, and that's to Wood's point. Like, I think what it really comes down to is he's like, they needed an offensive lineman, and he traded back. You know, I think that's the point.
Right, and just because you selected 25 does not make that player the first-round caliber grade.
Exactly.
If the caliber grades that you want for a first-rounder are not there, that you have done your scouting report, your scouting team, everybody has done the work to stack these guys out, and those guys aren't there, aren't you just going to take a second round caliber guy at 25
right.
Or you could take that second round caliber guy at 34 and get yourself some more. I will agree though, I'm still a little confused as to what he was cooking by going, here's a fifth round pick now and in 2 years and give me some six rounds and a seven. I don't know what that is for. No idea what that's for.
That was just
honest.
A false start. That was a Tunsil moment. He just wanted to get going on these trades. Now, Wood may be right because the offensive line pick is going to be even more magnified now. You know, he's had some struggle with offensive line picks, and now he moved out of it. What if two things could happen? What if Josh Connerly becomes an all-pro who was there at 25 and you moved out, you know? And what if the guy they eventually draft doesn't work out. So, you know, he could be right. I just think that's pretty over the top for now.
All right. Seems like the phone line's popping now. All right. So, Figgy, who we got?
Richard in Sugarland.
Richard, what's happening?
What's up, man?
What's up, baby? How you doing, Rich?
Hey, I'm living, bro.
Hey, okay, so hot take. Kassir is going to be using these, you know, he's trading down and stuff like that, but I'm really feeling that he's going to be using this as trade bait in order to go and get an established offensive lineman for the most part, because obviously, you know, like y'all said, he's really iffy about O-line picks. So maybe he knows that he doesn't know about drafting offensive linemen and is just going to go and try and use some of these twos and threes that he's building up to go out and trade and get somebody established. You know, might take a hit to our cap space, but if I'm not mistaken, we've got the room. So for the most part, at least that's what I'm hoping for. If not, he just chooses to keep trading down and building up draft capital moving forward to, you know, because we've got this window going on, you know, playoff push. And so using that, you know, later on, we can use some of this capital to go out and get that one or two pieces that we really need that are going to hit, you know, no matter what, pretty much as long as they don't get hurt, knock on wood, to really give us that edge, you know, in the playoffs.
All right, Richard, I appreciate you calling in, brother. That's a friend of mine, in fact. Shout out to Richard. I don't think that they have the cap space in order to accommodate like a player, a starting caliber player. Also, one thing I always say with offensive linemen is teams don't typically give a lot of
good ones
up.
Yeah.
But, do you think, because this was a question that came to mind when we were watching the draft play out and the trade back and all those things. Do you think a trade for a player not in the draft could be in the offing as well? Because I think that as you talk about players that can, like wide receivers, like weapons, and there's still opportunities for some. Like I'm still very interested in the Kyle Williams guy out of Washington State that they've talked to, or maybe like a Jack Besh out of TCU. There's still some guys that you can get. But is there a possibility, like Jameson Williams is a guy that maybe could be available as a talented player, a wide receiver on the outside with some of the draft capital you have? Some people look at maybe even like a George Pickens, understanding that, you know, not necessarily a swarm mentality personality, but he's a guy that you talk about going and testing down the field.
Yeah.
George Pickens absolutely can do that, like for, like, as you mentioned, like fifth, I mean, maybe sixth, seventh. I don't know what you'd be able to get, but would that be something that you think could still be in the offense?
No, I'm glad Richard brought that up because I meant to earlier. Figure that's the first thing you started talking about when things started breaking badly for the Texans.
I was actually saying that after they made the Tunsil deal.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, maybe they going to take one of those picks and get an established player instead of maybe hoping somebody fall to them in the draft.
And then last night we were like, ooh, maybe that's the only route. And he's not entirely off on the offense. I mean, they do, if you give them the right number of picks, the right picks, you can get a lineman too. I mean, it does happen, but more unlikely.
Yeah, and look, there's still linemen. I think that would be good for you in this space that you have five picks available to you. And I still don't think that you're going to just go with those. I think for me, optimal, I'd like to see them obviously select at 34, and then if they could improve 58 as well and get a couple in this second round. I think that they have an opportunity to do that, and it could be really good to get a few of these players in this general bucket of guys. Someone said, like, Brandon Scherff. Yeah, Brandon Scherff is – I don't know how – like, does Brandon Scherff feel like he fits in the same bucket with kind of the guys that you already have on the offensive line here?
Maybe slightly better, right?
Maybe slightly better.
Slightly better.
And then the thing that I've kept thinking about offensive line-wise is turning this thing forward, spinning it forward. Like, you've got a lot of kind of veteran guys in that medium space. I'd like to get young guys.
No, for sure. I think they would too.
Going forward with it. All right. So we said we were going to talk about winners and losers in this thus far. What about did you feel like the Jaguars were a winner here?
Yes, I did. And now I'm not saying they're going to be a winning team in 2025, but I don't see how you can look at that as anything but a winner.
Given the quarterback, the quarterback costs and tax in order to move up to two.
Well, but also, you know, you've got the new GM, new coach. I've doubted them from day one, and actually that's one of my potential losers is me. I brought this up with you guys last night. I'm like, what if I was wrong on these guys? Yeah, you know, like what you know? I haven't given them any credit. The magnificent Gladstone and Duval himself, Liam Cohen. What if they're like onto something over there? I mean, that was a bold move that you know kind of rocked the draft night world. And they got a great player by everybody's, you know, by everybody's estimation. They got a great player. So what if they're actually pretty good over there?
Yeah, and that makes me a little uncomfortable, yeah. Especially because when you hear them talk, specifically the Magnificent Gladstone, he's starting to sound swarmy already. Mm-hmm. Like before, he sounded kind of robotic. I did not love this, and I don't think he's wrong, but I did not love this. This is him talking about the idea of trading all of that capital in order to move up to 2 from 5 in order to select Travis Hunter.
I probably got some familiarity with the them picks sort of process. So for our fans, I'll tell you, don't be scared. This is something I'm uniquely positioned to navigate, and we ended up bringing Travis Hunter to Jacksonville, and with that, he is somebody who is deserving of a first round draft pick as a wide receiver. And he is worthy of a first-round draft pick as a corner. Certainly look forward to each of those elements showing themselves over the next few years while he's under his rookie contract. But, yeah, we're excited about just getting him in the boat, so to speak.
Mm. What if they're good? I didn't even consider it.
I don't know if they're good enough, though. Like, even if they're, like, relatively good, I don't love that he's like, yeah, we got them F them picks. I'm good at it. Mm-hmm. Remember, I was with the Rams. I can do this.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. You did one trade. Like, calm down, buddy.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely full of himself. But what if they're actually good?
I mean, Matthew Golden was a winner. Just he looked well. All right. In the moment he was selected, I feel like he felt like, damn, I was trying to get to Houston. But he ended up embracing that moment. He looked damn good doing it too.
That he's on my list. I had him as a winner just because. I mean, a lot of guys with the flamboyance and the crazy outfits that they want to wear, you know, on draft night, it doesn't quite, it like looks like too much. His looked pretty badass, man. His looked sharp. He looked really good.
All right, Larry's on the phone.
Oh, here we go, Larry.
All right, Larry Stafford, what you got for me, baby?
What's going on, Reggie, J-Lo, Figgy? Look here, man. J-Lo, if I had known Nick was going to pull that stunt last night, I'd have went to your damn house with you, man.
See?
Hey, man, if I could have spent less than 4 hours down there and been over there at J-Lo crib, got me some OG sauce ribs, smoked a stick, man, sat out in the backyard with Reggie and smoked another stick. That was an absolute mess, man. Hey, let me ask y'all a question. Mm-hmm. Can we all agree that the Texans have enough potential to be considered a Super Bowl caliber team?
Sure.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
They got enough talent over there, right? Well, then why did Nick not use this draft just to add a pick that could have put them over the top when Golden got close enough to 23 to move up 2 spots, man? I don't give a damn about 10 picks, man. What you need 10 picks for if you're a player or two away from the Super Bowl, man? And here's the thing. I hear all these people saying, well, day two is going to be so much better, and we got all this movability that we can go up and down and all this other stuff. The next highest-rated offensive lineman is the 61st player left best available now. So now you're picking at the bottom of the litter and just hoping somebody works out when you could have at least moved up and used some of that draft capital. Because I damn sure don't give a damn about no first-round pick next year if I win a damn Super Bowl. Last night was kind of frustrating for me, fellas, because I drank enough Sky Vodka up there in that lounge up there, man, to get my head real right. And when I saw my boy Golden go out there in that gold-ass suit and he had that UGK on, man, I got so pissed off, I walked right to my car and got the hell up out of there. Because we cannot excuse that the Texans were on the verge of putting somebody opposite of Nico Collins after everybody that they said was on their draft board had already been taken from Banks to Booker. You go up 2 spots and you go get that dude and let us all floss over there in front of George R. Brown. Because it was a party over there until Nick ruined it in our hall.
I'm telling you, man. We all felt the same way, maybe not as adamant about it. But
what about the Golden?
The 2 picks. Yeah,
that's
Golden specifically, but the 2 picks directly in front of you.
And Nick Caserio in his post round one press conference, he sounded frustrated. And if I am interpreting this correctly, which I think you would probably agree at the very least, it sounded like the frustration was because I tried.
Yeah,
right.
You did. Yeah.
That is in various sports, like I'll think of basketball, where you get done with a game. It almost felt like I ain't lose, like y'all lost moment. Yeah. Where he's like, I tried. I was out there doing my end of the of the bargain. I was calling. I was offering. You got to have two to tango. Mm-hmm. That's what it kind of felt like it came down to. And so I do wonder if he just could not find a deal that worked. And maybe then you respond to maybe be more aggressive, overspend. But how far do you want to overspend?
That's the thing.
It seems like most of those trades that happened, there was a level of overpay to some degree. And I don't know if those ones happened, like how much more would you have expected that the Texans would have needed to get to the place that they wanted?
I think it's a fair frustration, but you just talked about, we don't know how much of an overpay was really in play here. If it was something where maybe it could have been manageable, maybe he should have. And he has in the past. He's overpaid in the past.
And that's why I wonder, he does have a history of being willing to overpay when the need is there for him.
Yeah.
If I think that he has earned a level of trust in the idea that he probably has really, evaluated the landscape.
Sure.
And probably made reasonable decisions in that space. And then one thing that I want to keep bringing us to is that the idea that, hey, man, just because we view them and we're trying to evaluate them and draft scouts evaluate players in certain ways right now does not mean that's how they're evaluated in the building.
Sure.
And then that does not mean that's eventually how they ultimately land as well. I think that you have starting caliber players on day two in every single draft that you go back to. And I think that you generally will have a better, higher chance of doing that in round one, but there's still a good chance of doing that in round two. And they gave themselves a good chance of hitting by giving themselves a lot of picks as well, assuming that they make all of those, which I don't know that we can, but at the very least, there's a good number of them. So, all right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Still excited to see what happens on day two today. And we'll talk a little bit more about that before we hand it off to the fellas of the drive. But coming up next, we got to do the thing that we do every day about this time where we hand it over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got for us?
Yeah, so the Houston Texans sat out draft night last night. A lot of people was disappointed. And it felt like showing up to a party just to watch everybody else open their gifts. So I got some life analogies, and I want to hear some of y'all's too. 713-572-4610. We've been kind of sprinkling them in throughout the show, but I got a few. I want to see if y'all can relate to this. Plus, I want John Lopez to turn into John Gruden.
Okay.
And what? I will explain why.
Okay. I would like to figure that out as well. So I guess I will listen next.
Yep. It's the mixtape in the loop. Sports Radio 610. It's Figgy Fig holding it down on a Friday. Happy Friday to everyone.
Oh, it is Friday.
It is. I kept thinking yesterday was Friday, to be honest.
Felt like it.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I kind of stayed at Lopez's house a little too long.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't really, I'm like, oh, it is Thursday. We do got to work in the morning.
Yeah.
But happy Friday to everyone out there. As we've been talking about all day, the draft was yesterday. And we kind of left I wouldn't say empty handed because we do got some picks and all that stuff. And I'm fine with the move, but I think we all was kind of expecting the player.
Yes,
this
we
whole
were.
Time,
that
man.
Is, and
yes,
that's ultimately. I feel like if there was a player somewhere, it's because this is the type of draft where there was just a lot of guys that you could commit yourself.
Yeah, so
you just didn't get one.
Yeah, we've been talking about all these players and we didn't get not one.
Nothing.
Yet.
Nothing.
You'll get nothing and like it.
Yet.
Yeah.
Soon.
So
like Caddyshack.
I don't remember.
Caddyshack. Yet. You'll get nothing and like it. Go ahead.
So I feel like the theme of the day is everybody been using analogies or how that felt.
Mm-hmm.
Just especially being at the draft. You at the draft and it's like, oh, we waiting on the pick and we leave with nothing pretty much.
Yeah.
So I got a list of analogies that I kind of want to run across y'all.
Love a good analogy.
And
Mr. Wordman himself.
Yeah.
Love a good analogy.
713-572-4610. I think Seth Payne would like a lot of analogies too. But if you got some, send them in.
Seth's the analogy king, ain't he?
Yeah,
100%. Every time I'm out and about and people bring up 610, they bring up Seth Payne and his analogies. His analogies be on point. So I wonder how he'll feel about this one. So the first one I got was, it's like standing in line for hours at a sneaker drop just to find out it was an online exclusive.
Oh, no.
Yikes.
So you waiting all this time.
You got nothing.
Nothing. You leaving out with no shoes.
I like it.
What about this one? Like waiting all day for your birthday dinner and your family takes you to Olive Garden.
Well, don't sleep on Olive Garden.
Yeah, but not for birthday dinner. No, that works. Because Olive Garden is great for we just going somewhere. Or maybe we're celebrating something light, you know.
But I'm not. I like the first one better because you're still getting something. You're getting breadsticks.
Unlimited super salad.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Are they still doing that?
I don't know.
You have to ask. Like any deal.
It's been over 10 years since
I've been
there,
in a while.
Man.
But
I haven't been since I lived in Houston.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Not Olive Garden. I used to go a couple times in Cleveland, but once I moved here, I'd rather have other stuff.
Yeah, there's better.
Yeah. So what about this one? Like Netflix hyping up a new season, and then it's only just a 2-minute trailer.
I like that. Or it starts in 2 years. All these
that's dude.
All these series are doing that now.
Yeah,
it's like, oh man, it's been greenlit, and that series will come out in 2027. You're like, why did you tell me this?
That does nothing for me. I get nothing. See, that's your analogy.
It's like Kevin Garnett in Uncut Gems.
Yes,
you're like, why the bleep would you show me something if I couldn't have it?
That's exactly what it is, and that's kind of what happened. Although I feel like Nick Casario would be like, me too. Like, I am also in that place where I was showed things that I could not have.
Yeah, no, Nick Casario was definitely in the line trying to get some sneakers and found that was an online exclusive. Like, damn. Walking back to the car. What about finally getting to the front of the roller coaster line and then they shut it down for maintenance?
That's it. That's the best one yet. The best one
And you
yet.
Can see it. You can see the last
ride, you can still ride the roller coaster. You still get picks, but you got to wait. Or you got to come back tomorrow.
Yeah, and the worst part about that is, like, you're clearly at the point in the line where you can't just hop out, where you're like, oh, last one. And you're like, I think I can make it. You start counting, like, all right, so there's, I feel like it's.
How many get on?
It seats about 17. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Because we were there, we were like, I would literally texted a group of my friends. I was like, all right, so if Green Bay, if they take Ezeraku, and then the Vikings, if they take. Then Golden will be, and nope.
So what about this one? Like proposing at a baseball game, and she says, let's talk later.
Oh,
well, that's your fault. Stop proposing in public.
Yeah,
stop proposing in public.
Yeah. But you thinking you going to the game, we about to be engaged.
I'm going to be engaged.
You walk out of there like, man, I don't even know if I have a relationship at
this
point.
There is always a better place to propose than a sporting event.
I will
take that to my, like, there's.
No, I do agree.
No matter what, like, even if we're both sports fans and our first day, I guarantee there's somewhere that's more romantic. And then also, even in best case scenario, what do you do after, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
watch the rest
we're
going to
get married. We're just going to sit here and watch the rest of the game? That's what we're going to do?
It's over at that point.
Right, exactly. We should be celebrating. We should be doing something. It's like, sit down and make sure that hope your team wins still.
Yeah. What about this one? Like going to a cookout and finding out it's vegan.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to all my vegans out there. No, no judgment, but.
Yeah.
Would cry.
Yeah. That's kind of borderline going to an event. And finding out ain't no food there.
Yes.
And you like, man, I ain't even eat none before I came here.
That's the worst.
I had 2 bites of an awful sandwich, but that's about it.
You want to shout that place out?
Would you like to expand?
I'm going to save you one. I'm going to spare you. What about this one? Like ordering food when you're starving and the delivery driver eats your fries.
Yeah. Or the delivery driver just steals it.
Because
apparently people will do that where they'll do it. They'll drop it, take the picture, but then take it so that there's.
You get a notification. Like, my food. Where's my food?
Oh, yeah.
And it said deliver.
And you see why I don't do those? Because it's too many different variables. I might as well go to the store and pick it up myself. And one, know that I get my food. And two, not pay $75 in order to
do it. All right. I'm going to run through the rest real quick. This is like texting your crush, you're up, and getting a reply from their mom.
Oh, hey, you up? No, but mom is.
This is Christina's mom.
I have never had that happen.
Whoa.
I have had the you up, and then you get the text message when you fall asleep, and it comes through at like 4 a.m. And it's like, and you see it when you wake up. You're like, well, damn.
I'd rather get the text from the mom, to be honest, because damn, if I get that text from her 4 in the morning when I'm asleep, damn, I messed up.
This is why I'll never sleep again.
Damn. Like getting dressed for the rodeo, boots and all, and then the concert gets rained out.
Where there's a fire in the stage.
Yeah. Sound like somebody experienced that one.
Shout out to Journey.
Oh, a lot of people are coming up with a lot of things coming in on the text line. Mm-hmm. 832, being the first person that has to stop at a red light.
Oh, the worst.
Oh, you don't live in Houston because we be running that thing. They said, like, getting invited to hang out with one set of friends, but they invited a couple that you don't like.
Yeah. This is the last one right here.
All right, bet.
And we could all relate to this one because we all judge tailgates here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Like going to judge a tailgate at a Texans game and the food is not ready.
Oh, well, we've done that too.
Have been there.
We can really relate to that
we've done that.
We get
too.
There like, hey, let's go.
Let's go.
By the way, food will be ready about 30, 45 minutes.
Okay, yeah, so you need to wait about 30, 45
all right,
minutes
man.
To see if
how's,
you won.
How's those Houston Texans going?
Yeah.
Oh, man, 713. Like
we got chips.
Oh, boy. Yeah. It's like, that's not what I was here for, but I appreciate you.
Yeah, we get on that cart, we'd be like, nope.
Nope.
That actually means a lot because that's similar because they also did not want you to not have food. It was just like, damn, we didn't time this out right.
Well, we know who's third place.
Wow. 713, like leaving work to take your wife to the hospital thinking that the baby is coming because of the contractions and she only has gas.
Oh, that's man. A good one.
That sounds like that really happened to you. Yeah. Just like this one from 713. Like it's like being a kid showing up to the pool and the lifeguard says adult swim. You have to sit down.
Oh, that's an even better one.
There's a lot of these. Yeah. Y'all have some great
You're all fired up. That's a great one.
We just got an analogy
off
going.
Sorry, you gotta wait 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Keep them coming. 713-572-4610.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right, it's the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. I did tease that I want John Lopez to turn into John Gruden.
Yeah, how does this happen?
I don't know if I can do Gruden as well as others, but
I think you can right here. So we was talking about this after the show because we seen this tweet of the prospects walkout music.
Yes.
Right, right.
And we talked about who was it? Matthew Golden.
Oh, no, it was Matthew Golden.
Yeah. Well, I was infatuated with Tyler Booker because he had a pretty good song with Imaginary Players by Jay-Z.
Yeah, that was super rare. But I want John Lopez to turn to John Gruden right here.
Okay.
I want you to listen to all of these songs.
Give a little quick review.
Yeah, quick review. I want you to pick your top three out of this group. That's
are you giving him homework right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Weekend homework. That's crazy.
Yeah, I want you to give me the top three people that had the best music. And I'll
do that tonight.
I want you to take out the UGK song, Outkast song.
Right.
Because we know about that one.
Listen to it anyways. It's fun.
I'm familiar with that.
No, I know. I'm not saying you don't know it. I'm saying just listen to it. You just enjoy yourself for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I want you to rank the top three players who had the best walkout songs.
Piece of cake.
And I want you to do it like John Gruden does it.
Yeah, that's a good song right there.
Hey, John, what you listening to?
You know, that,
I'm listening to Gunna.
Yeah.
Freestyle.
Hey, I don't know that I felt as old as when I was looking at these names and I was like, I don't know what some of what are these? This numbers? Is this a person? Is this an artist?
Yeah.
Which one?
Let me pull it back up because I don't have it directly in front of me. But some of these names.
You know that Rich Homie Quan is a
Good. Yeah, okay. Well, Rich Homie Quan. There's one in here that's like OT7 Quani. And I was like, is that? Yeah. Is that an artist?
Yeah, that's
they making music now?
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's a lot of Gunna in here too, man. They love some Gunna.
I'll give you top three, man. Piece of cake.
All right, cool. We will be hearing that around this time on Monday from the OG John Lopez.
Yep.
And I'm going to get y'all out of here on this. So from the 832, they brought this up a little earlier. They said, don't forget, tonight is that sperm racing tournament.
Is it really?
It's tonight.
And you can bet on it.
Yep, and you can bet on it. And to make this even cooler.
Are you for real? Or are we joking right now?
No, you can bet on
it. We dead serious.
Yeah.
So we got, so it's the world. It's the world's first ever sperm race. And they say it's going to be a heavyweight fight.
Mm-hmm.
So we got two young sperm donors,
mm-hmm.
one by the name of Tristan, who is from USC.
Okay.
And we got Asher, who is from UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the red versus the blue, man.
Yeah.
The Bloods versus the Crips.
I don't think that's how that works.
And so they actually joined TMZ to talk about this.
Oh, here we go.
So they really hyping this up.
TMZ is covering this?
They are.
Unbelievable.
And this is what Tristan had to say. Because they asked him, how do you prepare for something like this?
Oh, no.
I know.
No.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that you can really fix your own fertility. You can, of course, it's a lot up to genetics. That's the main component. But you can fix your diet. You can fix your lifestyle. And so what we've been doing, we tested our biomarkers. We got blood work done. And we can see what we're deficient in. And so I was deficient in vitamin D, some B12. And I can see that, like, my testosterone is way higher than Asher's. So I know I'm just going to win the race. And I can see everything that I can, be better in. So I'm optimizing my diet. I'm taking the right supplements. I'm working out every day. It's also recommended to be sexually active. There's like a window from 3 to 5 days that is optimal for sperm production. So we're taking everything very seriously. We're looking at this as being in, like getting the LeBron treatment for sperm racing.
One, terrible trash talk. Yeah. Atrocious trash talk. Yeah. Secondly, I just imagine going to like the GNC or being at the gym. Say, oh, man, yeah, I need this and this something. Oh, yeah, what you training for?
Well,
you about to run a marathon? You trying to bodybuild? What's up? Actually.
Let me tell you.
So who y'all want to bet? Who y'all got?
I don't know.
Race? Come on, man. UCLA or USC?
He said Tristan and what's the old boy's Asher. Name? Asher? I don't like the name Asher.
I don't like Asher know. Either. I'll go with Tristan, too.
Tristan.
Straight off their name because all this other stuff, I have no other I have no other way of knowing, and neither do I want to. I don't want to know who's better at this. I know that you're going to tell me later. I don't want to know. Well, I just want to let you know I don't.
Just in case you want to watch the live stream, it's going to be live streaming.
Unbelievable.
www.spermracing.com.
God almighty.
Who had on their bingo card?
You know who's not
going to
participate? Deion Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
He will not participate. He never has.
That is what we call a callback. And also, neither of those things were on my bingo card to be said on this program today. And somebody says 713 Crips win testosterone. What is happening? This is a very, very weird Friday.
It's tonight on the live stream.
I think I'll
let me give you the address.
He's
again.
Gonna have it
no.
on. The, no, he's gonna have it on the third TV.
No,
he's gonna have it on the third TV.
You should, man.
Yeah, put no, it on. The take
absolutely
a
not.
Take a picture of it.
Somebody said, what are they racing to? Which is a great question. Why is that such an apt question?
Somebody watch it for us and give us a breakdown of it.
Reggie's going to watch it?
No, I will not. I promise you. I've lied about a lot of things, but not that. I will not be watching that. I lied about watching Mayweather Pacquiao. I was like, no, it's too late. And I watched it. I will not watch this. I'll tell you that for sure. I'd much rather just watch the Astros play the Royals, friend. Like, I will very much be watching that.
Well, we root
playoff
for Tristan.
Basketball.
We root for Tristan.
Let's go, Tristan.
USC, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
Those good guys swimming, man.
Right. I mean, USC does have better athletic programs all the way around the UCLA. But all right. That is Figgy's mixtape. I'd understand if you didn't want to hear it again, but I guarantee you it's very good. 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610 at the Figgy Fig on social media. If you see something that you believe to be mixtape worthy, or if you just want to talk to him about racing of a particular kind. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get ready to talk to the fellas of the drive. They're out there at Blue Water Seafood off of FM 1960. Let's see what they got going and get you ready for the weekend next. All right. Day two of the NFL draft gets going officially. The picks start at 6, and you'll have the same. You'll have, Sports Radio 610 keeping you covered. Before we get there, you will get to ride along with the drive. Clint and Ron are getting you ready for that. And they continue also at the same time on the Mud Bug, the crawfish tour that they've got going on today out at the Blue Water Seafood out there at on FM 1960, 12914 FM 1960 to be exact. So go out and see the fellas, get you some crawfish, and get ready for the second day of the NFL draft. In fact, to that end, actually, before I get there, there are multiple people who have been texting in, Figgy, because you were talking about the analogies to the first round. And from 573, they said 18 years married today. Congratulations to you. They said, when your wife promises adult time, then passes out before the kids. That's tough. That is tough. But yes, and also someone in regards to the sperm racing that you were referring to said that apparently it's for a good cause because they're doing it for men's reproductive awareness.
Sure, that's why they're doing
it. Salute.
Make sure you go do your checks and such, and make sure that you're doing that.
We'll talk about this more often.
Are you? All right. Sometimes we'll draft the weekend ahead of a weekend of sports and see what we're interested in. I kind of want to draft the draft, right? All of the Texans picks are ahead of them thanks to a trade back from 25 to 34 and, you know, maybe even beyond because I saw Jordan Schultz was already saying that the people at picks 34, 35, and 33, 34, 35, the first three picks are already getting calls about trades up.
Yeah.
And Nick, I swear, dude.
Don't you do it.
I swear. But let's go around. Let's draft players that we think that the Texans will pick, and we'll see who gets the most. How about that? Or do you want to put a point system on it?
No. Let's do that.
Okay. All right. Figgy, would you like to? I will allow you to have the first pick here if you
okay. I'm not going to say because I'm not sure what type of player they might be into, but I'm going to say the position.
Nah, you got to put players, dog.
No.
All right. If you don't, you can go later. No, we got players. Players on the board, baby.
Nah, man. We want position. I think they're going to go receiver.
Which one?
I got one.
I got one as well.
That's my pick. I think that 34. I think at 34, they're going to go with Trey Harris.
So you just let him take your pick.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lopez got Trey Harris. I'm going to go ahead and I'll maybe this is hope planning here, but I'm going Kyle Williams, Washington State wide receiver. I think that they did their due diligence. I think you have the third round picks. Mm-hmm. If he ends up there, get you speed guy over the top, and I think they like him.
Their next pick is what, 58?
Oh, you don't have to pick exactly the numbers. Just I feel like pick guys that could go is where I was going.
Okay. I'm going to say Caleb Johnson. Just putting two and two together.
Okay.
Will be their next one.
Thank you for leaving me Tate Ratledge. I think Tate Ratledge is one that is – they have an opportunity to still get one of the best guards available, and it still feels like as much as they say that they're not going to draft for need, it feels like the opportunity to get – a very good one on the interior where they've talked about improving the offensive line from the inside out. I think that's still on the table.
Ooh, they do have to get an offensive lineman, so I guess that's going to be their first third round pick. Ooh, who's going to be there? It could be just spitballing in essence. Is that center? He'll be gone, right? The kid from Georgia, Wilson.
Jared Wilson.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're thinking more about. I'm just like I'm putting names out here. I'm playing this in a place where I'm putting a nice net down of players that I would like.
All right.
Could select to try and get to be right. You're like trying to pinpoint.
Yes, the actual pick. All right. So I'll change it. I'll give my top four players that the Texans are going.
There
to
you go. Now you're tonight. Playing the game.
Number one, Trey Harris. Number two would be. You know what? I'll change it. I'll go. No, I won't. I'll go Caleb Johnson.
Okay.
Running back out of Iowa.
Do we feel confident enough to put Luther Burden on here? Because playful on the YouTube page is like Luther Burden or bust.
No. Knock yourself out if you want. I'm going to say Jared Wilson, the center. That's my third one. And then I'm going to go another wide receiver. I think they're looking for depth. They're hurting. I'm going to say Jack Besh from TCU.
Jack Besh is fun.
Yeah.
He's a fun player. I think that could be interesting. Yeah. It's interesting because we didn't have any overlap. I am very much a Ratledge. Williams, if I'm going to put another player in here, Alfred Collins, the defensive tackle out of Texas, I think is an interesting one to allow them kind of add what they're doing here on the interior defensive line. That was one of the things that they wanted, right? Mm-hmm. And then, let me see, what is one more player that I want to put out here that I think would look good? How about Ferguson, the tight end out of Oregon?
Oh, I didn't say any tight end.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think that'd be fun. Some other people, Travion Henderson, we didn't put that down. We probably should have as a possibility. Somebody said Burden is a diva. Miss me with that. That's Gus and Katie. I know that, yeah, there were some questions in there. Someone said Henderson, Harris, Ratledge. 713 said, why not Burden? I think I still wonder, are they going to utilize him in that way where, you know, get him the ball in a similar fashion as they did in Missouri where they kind of – although Missouri, they used him a little bit better in the year prior to this past college football season. This college football season, they really dialed it back and just kind of got him the ball in yak situations. Just give him the ball close to the line of scrimmage and let him go. And I kind of feel like, especially if you're going to get that wide receiver two weapon, you want somebody who can attack down the field. At least that's the way that I feel about it. Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to how the second round unfolds. Did you see this, though? So Cam Ward was obviously selected number one overall. We knew for a long time that that pairing was going to happen. He seemed to be announced in Nashville earlier today.
Yeah.
And do you know who handed him his very first jersey?
Yes. Sick.
Warren Moon, Oilers quarterback, never played for the Titans themselves, obviously played for the franchise that moved.
But he repped the Titans like he did.
He
repped them like he did.
He's about the last one. He must be getting paid pretty well.
Nah, I think he really tight with your girl, Amy Adams.
Don't put that on me.
Yes, that's yo girl.
That brother ain't like the Texans' new uniforms or nothing, man.
Yeah, no.
I'm like,
I wonder
you
why.
Need to take him out the doggone Houston Hall of Fame. Snatch that jacket. Yeah.
That man was cold, though. I was like, I hear you. I just
snatch that jacket, man.
There it is. They're showing it now. Yeah.
God snatch almighty. That jacket.
One more question for you before we go talk to the boys.
Okay.
Where is Shador going?
Okay, so actually, this is a good question that.
So, tell me if I'm wrong. It's Browns, right?
Cleveland feels like it could still be a possibility.
Browns have
degree.
Two of the top four picks here.
Yeah.
It goes Browns, Texans, Titans, Browns.
Okay.
I would kind of be shocked if they
I would be
go
too.
With Shador.
I would be too. So if we agree with that, that means he's not going in the top four,
could
right?
The Raiders still do it?
I was just going to say Raiders are next. Raiders are next. Then the Patriots. Drake May?
I don't see that.
That's one of the few things that it feels like they have gotten largely right now is that he seems like he's going to be good if you surround him with an offensive line that can block
okay.
him and some weapons.
Okay, then the Bears. No go there.
No.
Then the Saints.
I'm not sure if they're
40,
still.
40 maybe, overall. Number 40 overall.
I can see the Saints possibly.
Yeah.
That could happen.
Where the Rams at?
The Rams are.
I can see the Rams.
Pick number 48.
Rams is interesting.
46.
But I heard somebody talking about this, and I thought this was a good point to make note of, which is the last couple quarterbacks they've had have had arms that can really, really, you know, go, right? Jared Goff has a good arm. Matthew Stafford has a very good arm. And that's not quite, and I'm talking about strength of it. It's not quite what you're looking at.
Last
with
thing,
Sanders.
Because this is where I was going, and I don't want to take time away from the boys. Cowboys are 44.
They're not doing that. They're not doing that.
Who's their owner?
Gerald Wayne Jones.
Cowboys are 44.
Jerry.
could he make it to Pittsburgh in the third round? I know they don't have a second round pick. Because they still don't have a good answer at quarterback.
I don't know.